An electrician.
Tell me.
You need
tell
an
me.
Electrician.
Follow the cord.
I'm in the mood to be slow and careful. My body's ready for a mountain climb. All of a sudden it will all become lovely. The flower that opens in the morning light.
I think I'll let you take it away, actually, but I think today when we say friend of the pod, we really mean friend of the pod. So, Noah, I'll let you take it away with the intros.
Groomsman of the pod.
Ooh,
both in Jeff's wedding coming up. But yeah, we have an old friend of mine, Garth Clark. Met you in Farmington in college. Really good buddies with Jeff, and I kind of keep tabs on you through him. And kind of last I knew a few years ago, I think you were selling medical equipment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which I think is basically what J.C. Tetro did.
Really?
As well.
Before I have quite
Trillium.
A few friends that did and do.
Someone's got to be selling it.
Yeah.
So that's probably a podcast we don't even need to have. So but since then, Jeff kind of mentioned like, oh, yeah, Garth's becoming an electrician now. And that, you know, we're in our early 30s, pretty much the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get to that point in life where that seems like more of a feat when I hear it than it would have 5 years ago.
100%.
Even.
Switching really, careers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a big thing. And so that and also just sort of the world of the trade of... trade? Would that be the word?
Yeah, trade.
The trade of... I think where I'm actually stumbling... electricianship.
An apprentice electrician.
whatever you'd use for sort of that
overarching term.
Apprenticeship. Cool.
Yeah. And like an apprenticeship in the trades of electrical.
Cool. So there's like a ton of ways that I could get started, but I think really starting with that transition. Yeah, that transition where you would have been old enough, like you by all any argument had a already in the beginning of a career, a different type of career. Like people do that for their whole lives, and I don't know, there's just a lot of subtle things that just really impress me about it, and then realize like, wait, I wouldn't even know how you would even become an electrician.
Yeah.
And I think there's that provides me an endless amount of interest just with anything. Like, man, there's so much stuff out there. Like, how do you even become that? You know, it's sort of just like childlike kind of like, oh, you don't really think about how you become an astronaut. You just think it'd be pretty cool to be on the moon.
I'll tell you one thing. You don't really think about electricity and how it gets around everywhere. I've done that a million times. Like, how does this even
You want to start with
happen?
Electricity
no,
101?
No, I'm sorry. said it. Anyway, I was thinking about it on the ride down, but I agree with you to maybe touch on a little bit of the medical device and why to leave it. And why you wanted to leave it in the first place.
Why the device stopped working.
But then going through that transition of having the stones, frankly, to switch your career at 30 and what drew you to want to be an electrician.
Cool, yeah. So listen, my children, you shall hear. So I was doing the medical device sales. Was working for a spine distributorship. I was managing all of Maine. I represented about 15 neurosurgeons. I would sell hardware, so you break your back, you got your screws, your rods that go in. And I was the person that was in the surgery, setting things up with the scrub tech. Like, hey doc, turn that dial this way, not that way. Mm-hmm. Counterclockwise, not clockwise. And then the whole time in my head, I was kind of had this idea that, you know, like sales, like sweet, I'll be able to like go golfing on at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday.
I could wear a fleece vest.
I could wear a polo and just like, you know,
branded with the medical device company, wear suits.
My bosses had suits with their name embroidered and the Rolex, and I was kind of like, wow, that'd be pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I'm just not a smoozer. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't do the, you know, someone tells me, and maybe it was just kind of how I was raised, but someone tells me they don't want something, cool, you don't want it. That's the end of it. All right, see ya. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Talk to you later. Oh, you got to get back in there and knock back on the door. Like, you didn't strike out. You just said no, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, man, this just isn't like, there was like that personality clash that was going on. It was like, this just isn't my personality. It wasn't for me. And then I was kind of tossing around a bunch of ideas as to what I want to do and kind of looking at, like, what do I enjoy? And I grew up on a little farm, so I had some know-how about working with tools and working with my hands. I always just enjoyed, like, working with my hands. And I applied to some jobs, just random jobs. You know, big shout out to Noah here. I applied for one of your jobs, Bissell, and didn't get it.
And that almost worked out. It was part time versus full. I'm glad it didn't.
So thank you.
It's a very objective show.
But I could chum it up. Anyways, and I just had to throw the dig.
I'm glad you did. This podcast wouldn't have been happening if you got that job.
Exactly. some stuff didn't work out, and
so much worse.
The direct didn't sting as much.
And so I had thought about, like, what about the trades? And I was like, literally, you know, what does everybody do? They go on Google, and it's like, what can I make the most money doing? And it was plumber or electrician was what it said.
Yeah.
And I was like, plumber, I really don't want to deal with shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made my mind up right then and there. And did some more research, talked to a few electricians, just like randomly called them up, cold calling on the phone. I was like, hey, like, I have some questions about this. Can you answer?
And that's awesome.
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
Yeah, what was the general temperature on that? Because it must have at least been surprising, if nothing else.
Well, I hit them with an email first. Okay. And I found, like, just, you know, electricians near me, and I hit them with an email first saying, hey, I'm interested in learning more about the trade, wondering if I could snag like 10 minutes of your time to kind of ask some questions. And everything I got back was great response. And so I kind of threw that on the back burner and continued along with my sales thing, because there was like some like, you know, hooks in my mouth, so to speak, that kept me like, oh, like following this little down this
better
little
salesman
rabbit hole
than yourself, keeping you in.
Yeah, exactly.
What were they actually? Was the money good and like these incentives and bonuses you can hit? Or what, when you say hooks in your mouth, what's keeping you in something that you know might not be a good fit for you?
Yeah, so there was this doctor that I was working with, and there was always, and like Noah was just saying, there's a salesman like that's keeping you going.
Oh, but if you just work another month, picture the bonus.
Right there. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, like he's gonna take off. I'm telling you, he's gonna take off. And I was like, all right, like if he takes off, I'm looking at some of the, like, running some numbers, and I was like, man, I could be making some like good money off of this one person. And
can I stop you real? What do you mean by he's gonna take off? The doctor would get like more popular.
So this in particular doctor, he was helping enhance a product line for another company. So he was using using this company's stuff. Trying not to say names.
Here. No, totally. No, you're making total sense.
And he was trying to show them how they can make their product better.
Potential of like a partnership kind of thing.
Exactly.
We're both kind of like, you know, stock gurus and stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, let me know.
We were hoping you would.
And no, I got no insider stuff.
Cool.
By GE.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a rebound play.
So it was just like, oh, this might happen. Then Uncle COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And when
first time I've ever heard of Uncle, I like it.
I was thinking
about Uncle Freedom the other day.
Yeah, Uncle COVID works.
Yeah, when COVID hit, everything shut down, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But so did all elective surgeries. And a spine surgery is considered an elective surgery.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So
seems problematic in and of itself.
Things had kind of been winding down a little bit with some competitive companies coming in to my territory and stealing up some of the sales. And I just said, you know what? If there's a time to jump ship, I'm 30 years old right now and I'm in pretty good shape. I think I can do it now.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do it. If I wait, the opportunity is going to pass me. And part of that process of thinking was like, like kind of being inspired by friends like you, Noah, like open up your own business. I knew that I'd be able to eventually, if I do the right stuff, I'd be able to open up my own business, and I want to work for myself eventually one day. And seen some other buddies, big shout out Henry Bunno, Bunno and Son Excavation, Askowegan, Maine.
My
also
baby.
Justin Taylor, Taylor Property Management, up to Sugarloaf for all your property management
fuck
needs.
It, I'll throw on Tyler Case Concrete.
Noah Bissell Brothers Brewing. You need beer? He has it.
Have you heard of him?
You need a job? Not so much. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. That's too good.
So, yeah. So doing some like digging in some more research and kind of like testing the waters, you know, you like you say something to you, man, like, you know, I'm just not that happy with this sales stuff anymore. Like, I'd really like to just like work with my hands or something and like see what she says.
Judge for reflections on kind of like, what you say. Yeah.
And she was always like super supportive kind of at first. She was just like, you know, it's me just like I've thrown so many ideas into the wind, like I'm a bounce off kind of person.
And
you know, I kept sticking around with that one and kind of like ran it by the folks a couple times and then was just like literally true story. So I was like emailing this guy back and forth, which is who I now attend school with him at the Maine Electrical Institute. He opened up his own, he's a master electrician, opened up his own school because he had a passion for teaching. And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to let you know, we met a couple times, and he emailed me, he goes, just want to let you know there's one spot open. And I was on my way up to a surgery in Waterville, Maine, and I'm driving and I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I'm hitting just, I just don't want to do it. And I was at the time I was interviewing for a trauma sales rep position with DePue Synthes, which is like a pretty, it was a pretty big role.
Yeah.
It'd been a significant pay raise from what I was currently making. And, they'd kind of been like giving me the not giving me the gears, but they've kind of been like wishy-washy, like, oh, we might have something, oh, who knows, like might have to wait, might not. And I'm sitting there in surgery and I look down at my phone and I email the guy and I was like, hey, is there still that spot open? And he's like, yeah, it's one more. I go, I'll take it.
In the middle of a surgery.
And I was
the
like,
patient oh. died. I left.
No, I know. The patient was in good care.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll take it. Go outside. Surgery gets done. I go outside. I call my parents. I'm like, hey, Dad, because I already had ran it by him a couple times, testing the waters. And I was like, hey, I made my mind up. This is what I'm doing. A, B, C. Cool.
Yeah.
And parents were like, yeah, hey, your life. That's what you want to do. Go for it. And, no joke, hang up, call the school, threw the payment down for my first year on the credit card, boom, paid for. No joke, 10 minutes later, phone rings. It's the guy from DePue Synthes offering me this position.
Shut the fuck up.
Offering me this position. And I was like, hey, I need some time to think about it. They were blown out of the water because they were offering me more than what they were saying that they were going to because I had some experience.
Yeah.
And like some ins and within some of the hospitals that they were trying to like get key accounts.
Yeah.
And they offered me a good, decent salary. And
rubber bands.
And no, it wasn't bands, but it was, you know, it was enough.
A band.
And and I was just like, no, I got to think about it. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'll call you back. And I was on like a conference call with like his boss and stuff like that. Yeah. And you know, these people that aren't like,
he didn't see that one coming.
Good, you know, they're not used to no.
Yeah, exactly.
And went back home, told my girlfriend that, hey, like this is what I'm doing. And
you've committed.
She was super supportive of it. And I went back out to the car, called the guy. Said, hey man, this I'm doing, you're asking me to go, I'm going left right now on the right fork. And I was working still with the company that I was doing and just started literally I was taking my resume and just like kind of like made my executive summary like, hey, look, I'm a salesman right now with like some waiting experience, but I can work hard. I know how to work with my hands. I'm going to attend school and I want to learn this trade. Check it
I
out.
Do, I do want to ask you
liberating.
One, I do want to ask you one thing is as we move into the electrician thing, and do want to ask in terms of even me, like this thing about like college starting to be an equation that doesn't work as well.
Yep. Right?
4 year schools, if you're getting a liberal arts degree and you're not getting a medical degree or a lawyer degree, as time's gone on, that equation has gotten worse and worse. And this kind of thing of the trades jobs making more and more money and having a deficit of workers, it seems like, where everybody is looking for them. What was on your mind? I know you had the hand, you work with your hands, it feels comfortable. Were you thinking in that kind of sense about money you could make and kind of that bigger thing?
Yeah. So I didn't like know this at the time, but the average age of an electrician right now, this is just what my teacher was telling me, but the average age of an electrician right now is 53 years
Jesus
old.
Jesus Christ.
So there's like a big, there's going to be, you know, you guys.
No, it's a real thing, the shortage of labor, of trades workers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I was part of the, we all were part of the generation of like college.
100%.
It was the end all be all. And don't regret a single minute of time that I spent at University of Maine at Farmington. But yeah, like I ended up with, I thought that people were going to be like calling me all the time, like, hey, you just got your bachelor's in psychology. Like, you want a job?
This is Harvard. Do you want to teach?
Yeah. And I never got that call. I still was waiting on that call. Yeah. So yeah, I going back to what you were just saying, so there's going to be this huge like that nobody is in the trades, and you know, you can kind of start setting your own price, and I having that little bit of sales background and like a semi business savvy ness, you know, where best I can come up with is like where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's the greatest way to put it. But
you're a man of many euphemisms. I love it. I really like it.
And
small fire, my brain.
Garthisms, as my old lady will say. But yeah, so there's not many people in the trade, and that's why I went with the electrical field, and knew that I didn't want to work underneath somebody. And I know I said this before, but I didn't want to work underneath somebody my entire life. I want to be the boss at one point. And yeah, that's
how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, the cookie crumbles. Yeah.
I want to get into sort of that apprentice program and like how school is simultaneous and sort of how that progresses. I just have one thing quick about that shortage that I'm curious about. Like, did they talk much? Was it like an assumption almost that certainly just it was so de facto that like college is the path to riches and a good life? I wonder sometimes if people almost expected AI to be more progressed than it was, because like certain like industrial trades jobs, I obviously, you know, definitely not speaking from a place of knowledge, but like, you know, like assembly lines, let's say like those were almost the first thing to be viably done by AI. So I don't know, just that's such a humongous gap.
Yeah,
like to have the average age be 53, that means like there's a ton of 70-year-old electricians probably, because like you can't even be one probably. What would be the youngest you could possibly like be certified and like working on your own?
Jeez. Certified. So
it's probably a progression. Apparently we're not AI experts, so we can bypass that and we'll go right to the apprentice.
Well, I can play off that AI thing, because when I was going back, no. But when I was going back into like thinking about what I wanted to do, I found myself in a job that I got phased out of and that I found myself replaceable. It was a big thing. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like, if I'm going to make a career change, like I want to do something that I get a skill where that no one can take that away from you.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happens, whether like pandemic, whatnot, you know, like you get a skill that like no one's going to, like no one can take it away from you.
100%.
And like, you know, there's millions of salesmen in the world. There's a handful of people in the trades and like, you know, you're adding value to one society, but you're also you can't lose like what you know,
yeah.
And like the income of electrical vehicles and like, you know, electricity is everywhere. You know, AI is nothing without electricity. Yeah. So.
Totally.
And that's almost to rebut Noah's point. I think
it wasn't a point. It was a question.
Unskilled labor. The assembly line, that AI is coming for that first and foremost. And even you, there may even be saleswomen before that, where these things kind of sell themselves because there is so much data.
Holiday robot. Yeah,
I almost think that electrician, plumber, and real skilled labor is almost one of the last things that AI even can come for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I buy that line of thinking a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, I guess like just because it's not really like anything I've experienced personally, like even I think in brewing, like maybe a few decades ago, forms of like apprenticeship type stuff existed, but it's really my understanding, as at least in your case, it really is a trade specific thing. For the most part. So yeah, I just really don't know much about it. And it's very fascinating to me. So kind of walk us through sort of the steps of it, where you're at in that, you know, all that stuff.
Totally. Yeah. So in order to be, there's the levels of being a electrician. You have your apprenticeship, and then you're an apprentice, or a helper/apprentice. And then you have become a journeyman, which and I'll break down the hours required here in a second. And then there's master. So apprentice, journeyman, master. As an apprentice, you work underneath a journeyman. You can work with a journeyman, but you work underneath a master in order in the state of Maine for your hours to count. And as an apprentice, you need to have 8,000 hours. Which is approximately 4 years worth of work. You do about 2,000.
And that's state regulated?
State regulated. It's purely by state, because like you go to, New Hampshire or whatever, or Oregon, it could be different. There's some reciprocity between different.
It's probably pretty shitty to be an electrician in New Hampshire.
Yeah, probably.
It's all odd car audio. It's the only thing that electricians do in New Hampshire. It's
everything far in series. Yeah. So you got your 8,000 hours, and then in addition to your 8,000 hours, you need to have 576 schooling hours, which is set up particular classes. You have like basic electricity 1, 2, conduit bending, like controls, motors, transformers.
And probably the people who you're working for now are pretty used to that flow of things of like we're getting people in that are actively taking these classes. So it's not like a pain in your ass to do the schooling, or is it
no, like on a schedule sense,
yeah,
like their end. Because they know that like if you like you stay with the company, you know what I mean, like you're gonna eventually be allow them to make more money, because I don't know what the ratio is specifically, but like each journeyman you have, you can have more helpers, which like on staff, because of there's a ratio between licensed versus unlicensed, and like how many you can
student
have
student to teacher ratio.
Yeah. I want to say it's like the for one journeyman that you can have three helpers or apprentices.
Cool.
I'm not exactly sure on what that ratio is, but yeah, you have your 500, and then so once you reach that, your 576 schooling hours and your 8,000 working hours, you're allowed to sit in the state of Maine for your journeyman license exam. And it's an 80 question multiple choice, and strictly just based off the code book of that series of the code book. And you you take your test and, you know, you hit submit and hope it says 70 or above, because that's passing. And then in order to get your master's, so you have to you obtain your journeyman, and then you work an additional 4,000 hours. So you have 12,000 cumulative hours along with your school and a few extra classes you got to do.
Yeah.
And then you can sit for your master's, which is like 100 multiple choice question test.
Man, so it's double.
Which is about 6 years.
Double Malcolm Gladwell's
yeah.
minimum. of 10,000 hours. Oh, it's like, no, actually, you won't be a, you'll be half a master then.
That's the psychology right there.
And then you gotta double that shit. That's a crazy amount of, especially because you don't think of many things an hour, or at least I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably be flabbergasted to, like, if someone told me, you've spent this much time in a brewery, or, like, reading about beer, or, you know, whatever. But, since that's not a metric that anyone really thinks about, it would probably be shocking. But hearing just 20,000 hours seems, I mean, it is 6 years.
12,000.
Well, plus eight, though, right?
Well, no,
the eight got you to the 12.
Okay, so it's not double Gladwell, it's over Gladwell.
Still 2,000 more than Master.
I thought we were doing, thought it was all of that 8, together. 8,000
journeymen, and then plus
4,000
equals 12,000.
Gotcha.
Equals.
Hey, masters. We can all do math here. We're
you got your math degree.
As you were looking, you said you kind of looked at some other trades a little bit. Is that apprenticeship program that kind of standard to other trades as well? Like working with gas or working with plumbing? Or I've certainly, you don't hear of like a carpenter in that strict of a framework. Right. You know what I mean? Of like, and I'm a carpenter apprentice.
Yeah, I really can't talk to it. I don't know for sure. Propane license or whatever, but
but yeah, there's just so much. Like, honestly, the reason I wanted to do this in the first place was one of my favorite comedians does a podcast I really like, and a lot of it's comedians and famous people or whatever, but the best episode in my opinion he's ever done was with a plumber, and it was just, I learned so much, and it was in like not just like PBS type of format of this is this job. Like, it was, you know, a fun way to learn about it.
Yeah.
It's shit you just, you know, pun intended, I guess, that you don't even think about. He mentioned a little bit about the apprenticeship, but not, it didn't seem as prevalent there even. Mm-hmm. There was definitely still tiers, and like, you definitely, in general, you could make more money the longer, the more experience you had. Yeah. So where are you again in that? And then I guess, what does that equate to what you're able to do on a job site? Like, what are your mm-hmm. certified skills now?
Yeah. Yeah. certified wire puller. yeah. So I'm a, state of Maine, licensed helper.
They really call it that.
I'd apply, had to pay the state of Maine
to be a helper,
to have them clear a background check that I am a certified helper.
Really, if anyone from the state of Maine's listening, probably wouldn't be the worst thing to pick any other noun.
Rebrand. Time for a rebrand.
So I now work for Du Bois Electric out of Lewiston, Maine.
We're a commercial.
Big outfit.
Big outfit, we got about 45 people in the field, handful of journeymen, some masters as well. Done a lot of really cool projects around here in just the time that I've been with them. But 8 months, 8-9 months in right now. And it's great, man. I learn something new literally every day. It helps, you know, you can learn something new every day when you go in with that, no knowledge whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we just crank right away. We've done some,
what do you actually mean when you say wire puller, though? Like, what are you able to do?
Oh, what am I able to do? I've done a lot of
things. What's 800 hours get you?
What is that? Yeah. 800 hours you can get. I can wire some outlets, do some switches, do some finishing work, putting track lighting in, recess lighting.
So this room you could pretty much cover.
Oh yeah, I know what's going on.
Cool,
here. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
I don't. I think you're the only one in this room that does.
And in combination with my schooling that I have, there's a lot of. It was really perfect because I was in like controls one, which is like residential controls where you're doing like feeding into the panel and like setting up your circuit breakers and then branching off, doing your branch circuits off into like your receptacles, which that's not an outlet. That is a receptacle. Just so you know. Hey, there you go. How switches work, like three-way switches, four-way switches. I know I'm kind of just talking like
I'm going to stop you right there because it's a perfect thing
To get into the weeds.
Like, you know, I think most most people have, you know, they I'm sure took, if even in high school, like, but definitely in college, I think I might even been in physics with you. I can't remember, but I took physics. That was the most I learned about electricity, and I was 19, and obviously, you know, that was, I think, my worst grade in all of college.
Electrons, protons, and neutrons.
Yeah, it was like automotive physics or something like that, but there's a lot of electricity as part of it with EVs. So anyway, like, I think the average person, doesn't think it's magic, but beyond that, like, yeah, you can change a fuse. Like, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty average to low average on the knowledge base. So, like, with that in mind, explain electricity.
Explain electricity. Yes. That's a big task you're asking here.
Make it as small as, like, just kind of, like, even something like, are most things alternating current?
Yeah, everything's, okay. Yeah, big shout out to Tesla on the alternating current.
Yeah.
Like, what was the difference between AC and DC?
So, AC... AC runs... AC runs on, like, the outside of the... and it's like a sine wave where... Mm-hmm. French, I talk with my hands. So, like, you have your A phase to B phase, A phase to B phase.
For those who can't see, I edit a podcast, dude. Trust me.
Those who can't see, his hand is going up and down like it's out the window on a road trip. Yep.
Nice. That's a good description there.
You, yeah, and seen it commercial.
Yeah, so you got A phase, B phase, and then and as those different phases are going, one's going, it goes to the right. On the A phase, when it comes down to the B phase, and switch the electrons switch and go to the left, and it's that, like, back and forth motion that creates your alternating current.
Gotcha.
Phase, and then DC is like direct current, so it's just a one way road. You go down one way, you come back around, you go to the other, and it's just a loop, just like NASCAR.
And is AC better in the same sense that, like, more cylinders in an engine makes, even if it's the you know, the math waits out, it's the you can, there's more going on at once, so, like, more things can happen since you're literally doing two loops rather than just one big NASCAR loop.
So with AC theory, you're allowed to, they were able to take the wire, like, if you had a, just if everything was strictly DC, the wires would have had to been a lot larger because you're pushing just current straight through the entire time.
Yeah.
And with alternating current, it allowed them to have the smaller wires to be able to, and it, the electrons kind of flow on the outside of the of, like, the copper, for instance, or the conductor.
So decreased surface area.
Decreased surface area the faster time. Higher volt, it pushes a higher voltage with DC, or excuse me, with AC, is a higher, like, goes out a higher voltage. So you go out of your, you know, hydro dam or something like that. And,
well, that's my next question. Where's the spark? Yes, I've seen, like, a dam, but, like, what's truly happening to, is there just an OG AC alternator that is basically turned on by natural, by, in that case, water?
Yeah, so you need something to project it, turn the turbine, turn the generator.
Yeah.
And every time you got, like, we could get in the weeds here. You got your lines of flux, which is, like, picture two magnets, all right? You got your North Pole, South Pole. My teacher's going to be so proud of me.
Yeah, you're killing it, man. Yeah.
And I listened to one podcast, and so far, you're right on point.
Yeah. And you got your North Pole, your South Pole, and then you have your magnet, magnet North Pole, South Pole, and then your generator's running through, and like on the certain sides there's more lines of, like, flux, and which is that higher, like, it'll peak right at, like, where it's cutting through as many as possible. So whether that's the projectile to move that that generator, could be water flowing, could be your wind, could be the tides, you know, or, like, whatever, could be nuclear energy, you know.
Yeah.
But something has to make make it spin to go through those big magnets. And as it has those big magnets, the best way to think of electricity is thinking of it in water terms,
because
it's
that,
a lot easier. So you got voltage. Voltage is your pressure. Like that's your, that's what's pushing, pumping through the lines is voltage. Mm-hmm. And then you got your amperage, which is your amps is what's like voltage pushes amps. Like, so it's pushing it through. And then you got your watts, which is
like PSI and flow
watts
rate.
Watts is what you see, like the lights that are on right here in this room. That's you're consuming something and you're able to actually see what's the work produced.
Yeah.
One quick thing on I said something that wasn't quite right, but it would almost be like you said amperage is basically would be like the equivalent, if you're talking water, PSI, or like even pump speed, and then volts would be like pipe size almost, if everything else was constant, like how much water this pipe can fit at one time.
That's kind of more like the amperage, actually. So you got your pressure, the pressure that you're pushing, that's your voltage.
So that'd be PSI or
that'd be PSI pump speed. Yeah,
swapped.
Yeah, and then your amperage is more your flow, like the rate of the flow.
Yeah.
So like so you know, and they're very interconnected. Like you can't
just
have,
like a pipe diameter would be to how much water could flow through it at any
exactly.
one time.
So like a lot of wires that we have, they're rated to a certain amount of amperage that can be pushed through it. Like a 14 gauge wire, like you don't want to put 20 amps through it, because there'll be so much heat that's generated, and that's what can cause like a fire, you know. So that all falls into like the code book and mm-hmm. and people that have studied what makes, I mean, there's a whole rabbit hole of stuff that you can really dive down
totally.
Into.
to take it from there and like the original source of power or energy generation, kind of all the way to the structure, where we can get in the weeds a little bit about what you do, but
and what you want to do.
Yeah, from whatever that source is, whether it be a hydro dam, nuclear plant, coal plant, that immense amount of energy feeds into the grid at some close point to right there, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
And what is the device that gets that there? And then the second question being, is that just electrons flying down?
Yeah.
Down a something that's a conductor, is that literally?
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, so you see like when you're driving down the road and you got those big swaths of land that you just got your power lines, you know, great hunting on the power lines.
Yeah.
And those, that's just running, let's just say 12,000 volts is just like, that's just the high, that's the highway, that's the Autobahn, you know. Like the people, that's 95
cruising at all
times. That's a trip from Tampa to Atlanta. Yeah, that's what that is.
Cruising. And that's all that has to be is it's something that's a
strictly,
conductor
strictly,
is
it? Voltage just ripping down through there. You know, you got your big I don't even like, so people that deal with that kind of stuff, they're more linesmen.
Sure,
that's
of course.
And then like electricians take it from like, you see the transformer, bring it down into like the drip loop that comes into your house.
Yep.
Like from that point, from where the drip loop is, people kind of know what I'm talking about. And from that point in is where electricians come in.
Yep.
Outside of that, that's linesmen.
Totally.
So you got 12,000 volts. Just, well, we'll just say 12,000. I don't know if that's really it, so don't like fact check me.
Yeah.
And hit me up.
I will.
And then it hits a transformer, and they have like substations as well, because like the longer distance you push something, it kind of peters out. Mm-hmm. Right, like you got a lot,
because it takes energy to get
it
there.
Like you turn a hose on at the spigot and it's cranking out, but you put 250 feet of hose out there, it's just going to be a little trickle coming out of the front, or out of the, you know, out of the hose. And So you'll have like substations that'll like amp the power back up and be able to like kind of pit stop and zoom it down further.
So I think what Matt, not to interrupt you, I think what Matt's asking is how does it get on the Autobahn in the first place?
You know, you explain one big part, but I was curious from like the nuclear plant or the hydro dam or the coal plant, what is capturing that energy in the moment, and like what is getting that into the grid in the first place? Or does all it need is
it needs electricity needs somewhere to go. Like it's gotta be somewhere. So when those generators are spinning and going through those magnetic lines of flux, it's creating so much energy that the energy's got to be propelled somewhere. So that's your, so there'll be lines that are hooked up to that generator and they're just
ready to send.
One right after another. It's just pumping out every single.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's literally the grid is connected to those things.
Yep.
And all that needs is copper or gold, or silver, aluminum,
yep. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
gone. Is it generally copper that's in power lines that you see, or do you know what those
the lines?
Metal is?
Yeah, the lines that I see are like your typical wire. Though it's all copper wire,
right.
Great conductor. Gold's like the best conductor, but
everybody would be cutting down power lines.
Yeah,
how's Bitcoin work? Thanks.
We gave it to you. Interesting. So that's what gets you your energy from the source to the house where an electrician or the building that an electrician is going to come in and do what they do.
Yeah, so the lines come in and then the big boxes you see on top of your power lines, those are transformers. So it's taking that 12,000 volts that's like just are pumping through those lines and through a series of... I haven't taken transformers yet, so I'm gonna.
It's transforming I would imagine,
transforming
in some way.
It's dropping it down into a usable voltage, which is like your typical household is 120 or 240 volts.
Yeah,
if you're a savage.
So you got like 120 volts on each phase that comes into your panel. So you'll have like your dryer is like a 240 because it's pulling off of the two bus bars because. When you bring it through through the meter into your panel, you have one line. You have a hot, an A hot, a B hot, and a neutral. And those each hot is 120 volts.
Wow.
You put them together, 240.
Yeah,
yeah. So some things require more power than others.
Of course,
like your dishwasher, your dryer, your gas, your range stove.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to get into just a little bit more of the future or how you see what you'd like the future to be. I think we have a few kind of lay of the land DIY absolute do's and don'ts anyway, or horror story time at the end. But until then, sort of like I know, frankly, a misconception I've had and probably a lot of people have because like at least people in our generation-ish, like since a lot of times you are pushed just even subtly or overtly away from even pursuing the trades in the first place, there's the same. I mean, and my parents weren't pushy about it. Just, it never crossed my mind.
It's assumed, kind
it's
of.
For,
it's
yeah,
like unspoken.
And you associate that with like, oh, well, there must just be poor pay in it, which... I don't know the specifics, but I know it's definitely not, at least doesn't have to be the case. Yeah, probably if you spend your whole career on the lowest rung, yeah, you get paid like someone who's on the lowest rung of anything. But yeah, talk maybe as much as you want to about that sort of, you know, we're not selling anyone out here because, you know, we're not talking to a master yet.
I'll be back.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm really curious about that because I think it was just a thing that most people don't really realize at all until they're already an adult. That like, oh, that would actually be, sounds like a pretty dope career.
Yeah.
Very general terms, like how much could you make at the different levels of certification in Maine?
The different levels of certification. It's kind of... it really depends. Like, do you want to work for somebody? Do you want to work for yourself? You'd be clearing 100K a year. How hard do you want to work? Because you're working for yourself. You know what I mean? You want to work for somebody? You know,
I'll ask you this then. When you searched in Google and you were left to choose between plumber and electrician, what were the terms that made your eyes a little greener?
I was seeing like the 75 area. I know that it's not uncommon for journeymen to be making like $35 an hour in that range. And I was like, you know, punch that into the calculator. I was like, oh, sweet. Like, I could live off that.
Yeah. I mean,
and make a good living, a good honest living,
I still very much feel like that's a pretty damn good living. And especially if you want to put in more work to level up, it's not always going to be there. Whether I don't know about the work will be there, but the ability to certify yourself deeper will always be there. Part of what on that, going back to that plumber podcast I listened to, he was sort of talking about exactly that point. Like, as long as you don't mind, like, maybe not having a hard 9-to-5, like, you can make a lot of money, especially if you're going at doing after hours stuff, you're willing to do that. Like, there's a whatever your percentage you decide to run at. It just got me thinking, like, I don't get me wrong, I was never like looking down on fucking tradesmen at all. It's like they've every single step of the brewery, we're relying on that, and great relationships. It's never like that, but really, I don't know. Just one of those many things. Your eyes are sort of different as an adult, and which I also want to ask about the schooling itself, because I wonder, you know, in college you probably saw like 50-year-old mother, or just like people of untraditional ages, and I would never be like weirded out, but I'd always kind of just be like, man, I never want to come back here. In my head at that time, like, I can't wait to not be here. Yeah. I can't imagine deciding to come back. And whether or not they had it just, but now I'm realizing, like, fuck, I would be so much better at school
right,
like,
now
with
than
the
I was
mindset
then.
And just like, you know, process manage, just adult management skills you acquire.
Literally. As a dropout, that's something I think
and
about
understanding
all the time.
That you're not fucking that smart. I think it's pretty easy to convince yourself in college, like, you're this erudite, I'm surrounded by the ivory walls, like, you know, it's just, you're fucking 20. That's just what happens when you're 20. Whether you're in college or not, you think you're a lot smarter than you are, probably. 100%. So when the rose-colored glasses kind of fade away, it just puts a whole new perspective on that, and I wonder if you've experienced that or not really thought about it, or...
I mean, I've thought about it a little bit, like, going back to school, so, like, my time spent in Farmington, it definitely, going back to school, it gives me a little bit of, like, gusto, because I was just, like, you know, I was, like, I know I can do the work. Like, I struggled through plenty of finals and whatnot. Like, I know that I can do the work. I know what works and how to study, which definitely helps a lot. Going back to school, now I feel as though I have, like, I got kind of something to lose at the same time. Like, you only get so much, you get what you put into it. And I mean, I see this from some people that I work, that are in school, like, with me right now. And it's just like, you know, some of these kids are like 19 and it was like, if I get, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, I remember having that attitude too.
Same.
That's like, what I mean. I think to speak to his point, almost having the maturity to be ready to
focus. It's literally maturity. Things. I feel like.
Yeah. Cause I mean, my schedule right now, I work like 6:30 to 2:30. And then, on days I go to school, I work 6:30 to 2:30. And I'm in class for 3:30 and I go till 7:30.
Damn.
And then there's homework after that. Yep. You know, like every week turns into a 50-plus-hour work week between
unpaid,
work.
Largely.
Yeah. I mean, like, a majority of it's paid because I'm working.
Just
but,
the
you
school
know.
Part. Yeah, you're paying them.
But, you know, at the same time, like, yeah, you're paying them, but the more knowledge you have, the more value you end up having for your class. I mean, the more value you have to your employer.
100%.
And yeah. like when you have more value to your employer, it's time to pay up. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
Like pull out that checkbook.
Yep.
Boss,
all things
man.
That are in a very different lens when you are, in, you know, in college at the normal age. It's
totally.
Not shit. It's on your mind at all.
Yeah. And like what they don't tell you in college either is, and it's like, they don't tell you how much it costs to live. Like there's like, oh, come up with this grandiose idea of, you know, like, oh, like you can, like you can do whatever you want. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I think that sounds great. And but like when it comes to being applicable in real life, it's like,
and that's
come out and you're like, wait a minute, like someone wants to pay me $35,000 to do X, you know what yeah. I mean? And you're like it's like, no, I'm not gonna say it's like poverty, but like it's, you know, you really gotta stretch that check.
And you learn,
you know,
that, you're stretch that dollar when, yeah. when you're 22.
Yeah.
But and the difference to me, the big difference is like there's no guarantees at all coming out of just normal bachelor degree college.
Yeah.
To try to enter the workplace, then none. You'll find a job probably if you really want to find a job bad enough, but like it. No guarantee it's going to be in anything resembling what you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it won't be actually at all to start.
Yeah.
But you're if coming out of specific trade education, yes, there's a lot, there's uncertainties, but like, especially now, you'll find a job. That's not going to be an issue. Yeah. You will be a very hireable electrician, especially because you're certified or you're not. Also, it's like a diploma. I don't know. There's just, it's a much more gray yeah. for college than what you're doing now.
Yeah, you have more, I'd say in the trades, you have the, you're like, I'm trained to do this.
Yeah.
And this is in my wheelhouse. This is what I do. As opposed to, I mean, speaking from experience, I have a psychology degree, and same. That's a very large umbrella that you fall under.
Yeah.
There's
why are all the psychologists calling me to hire me?
There's a whole lot of stuff that you could say falls under the umbrella.
100%.
And like the only way to, you know, start making a living, you gotta, as a psychologist, and it's just getting, the can's getting kicked down the road in a lot of fields, I feel like, of like, the bachelor's degree is kind of the new high school degree of
totally.
The 1970s, and it's very not inflated. But there's just a lot of people with college degrees kicking around the workplaces these days, and you got to now get your master's to stand out, get your PhD yeah. to stand out, and it's
or
like,
or get your electrician,
you can go to school, get your high school diploma, and then go to do a couple years of college of a in the trades, and you can be running your own business and doing the own show by the time you're 24.
A trillion percent. And I just wish that had been it. And it's again I'm not like blaming my parents, like I wanted nothing to do with it at that age, but like God, like the fact is, like most of my education has very ambiguously useful, is the usefulness 100%. Of it is questionable.
Yeah.
Like for a lot of the classes, and yes, you're supposed to be balanced, and I don't regret it, but like fuck, even if I mm-hmm. you know, you did 2 years of trade school and then decide to do something else anyway, you're still gonna have a really useful skill now that you can even just use for your, you'll be
and
able to use it in your life,
and you didn't like, go into the amount of debt
potential
and,
amount
that
of
most
debt
people
and all
have
that.
To do to get to the
totally.
Other side.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'm just it's psychs me up, if you can't tell.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
does, man.
I think it's an interesting time for it.
Yeah.
In a really real, not just because we're sitting and talking to one and we're doing a kitchen at the brewery. I'm talking to tradespeople all day. And I just bought a house a year ago. I'm calling tradespeople and they're busy. They're starting to name their price, all of this stuff. And for all the reasons you said, the cost of a degree has become inflated. The earning that you get from a degree has not inflated the same, and the ease of getting hired with said degree has also gone down. It just creates an entirely different equation than what we might have been looking at 10,
yep.
10 different years ago.
Yep.
But to bring it to the job site, as I I've had fun getting to know mine and talking to them, and would love to hear just some general they call them horror stories or funny stories from the job site.
Or just surprises.
Yeah. What you've found, what you've come across, and what's fun about it, things like that.
Oh, the job site. Yeah. If I was looking for a career in comedy, I definitely could come up with some good bits off of the blue job collar. Site. Blue collar comedy tour, you know. In my experience so far, I really don't have too many like horror stories, so to speak. I mean, like, there's been people that have like nicked your feeder wire and then you got to rerun it, which is just a gigantic pain in the ass. And you're like, come on, plumber. Like,
I didn't want to push you there.
Co-mingling.
It's funny. It's the co-mingling of everybody today, who has to do different things in each other's way against each other. And there always seems to be this like kind of built in thing of like,
One
judging the other's work.
Yeah.
And then you add all of that. That's funny. Then you bring like code enforcement on top of it. And that's one thing I've seen. Like, we had code come and check us for something. And to you, but it's like, you've got to be 12,000 hours deep to be a master electrician. And you've got to take like 8 hours of something, if that, and pass like a tiny page test to be the code enforcer for the thing that the people you're enforcing have had to dedicate 5 years to. That creates a dynamic where they don't have a ton of respect for you, and you come fuck their life up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen that dynamic a little bit at play, and it is very funny.
Yeah, I was actually always curious about, as I'm a big HGTV watcher.
Oh, baby.
You sure as hell better be now.
Yeah, right. And I was always curious about how much these code enforcers have of like schooling or whatnot, and it kind of depends on like municipalities how strict somebody is or if they
Milo,
like you or
not.
Not
so strict.
That's nice.
Was there any like in the educational side or just like anecdotally from guys you people you work with, have you heard any like in beer? It's kind of the same thing. Nothing terrible has happened in our brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Some funny, you know, like that was a bad day type of stuff, but nothing wild. But like the true horror stories I've heard about from Eric at Tank, like imploding, that can happen. Like if you're CIPing at basically a tank with a ton of whatever.
It imploded.
It can shrink like a soda can.
Jeez.
So bad news there. I at another brewery, like someone falling into a mash. So those aren't funny. But like most horror stories are not.
What
are they warning you about in school? Like, this happened. Never do this.
Well, okay. So we were doing this lighting retrofit off of this old building.
You can say old-ass building. It's okay.
I didn't know if it was like FCC is going to come down on you. I don't want to get this.
The FCC will let us be.
Right.
Yeah, they will.
We were doing this old lighting retrofit. So they were just they wanted to like save on their energy costs. So they were switching to LED lighting. And they had some shared neutrals, which is an absolute no-no. So when you're
shared neutrals?
Shared neutral. So shared neutral is when your circuit, all electricity needs a path back, or else it just won't work. The path back, so to the light is like your hot, and then the path back is the neutral coming to the panel. Now, it'll work if you take two circuits and you put it on one neutral. Like, it's just what people used to do to like save wire, save time, used to be allowed in the code. Not anymore. So there was these two circuits that were on, and they were both off. So you test it, everything looks fine. And someone working on the other side of the building, this isn't when I was there, they turned on the other breaker. So when that load started being fired up, the return path was coming through the breaker that he was coming back through what he thought was off.
Yeah.
And he touched it, and he had a gold wedding band on. That's a highly highly conductive that you can have. And completely fried his finger, had to like fried out his ligaments all on his finger, and had to like do surgery in order to move the ring finger again.
Yikes.
So that's why you see a lot of people in the trades that have like those
I'm rocking silicone, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Silicone bands.
I had a metal ring and it was not electricity, but I never like injured my finger, but a few times where it got caught on something enough to jump me enough, we're like, well, if that was just a little different, like I could have no finger. So I'm living silicone life now.
And a baby.
Yeah.
On the
it's not about commitment though. It's about finger. I'm committed to my finger.
I'll save it for next week. Yeah. I'll save it for next week. In terms of taking that kind of safety stuff to the DIY place, and frankly, I'm a little bit selfish because I just got my house and doing some of that stuff.
An aspiring HGTV.
I'm an aspiring HGTV. In terms of, can you kind of lean into this and do some projects around the house? Do you stay away from electricity at all costs? And from the story you just told, is that, in my mind, the number one danger is like making sure you have your stuff off and nothing is live. But then if you do something shoddy, are you at real risk of burning your house down, blowing things up, if you don't hurt yourself in the process, but you do something the wrong way? You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that come to my mind on the DIY front.
I mean, I'm going to just say, like, if when in doubt, just call an electrician, you know? I don't want to put anyone out of work.
Yeah, you're asking a former salesman, dude. Yes, he wasn't that successful at it, he said, but still, it's in his blood.
I mean, if say you want to just, like, replace a switch, like, my fiance now.
Atta bit, congratulations.
I'll
save it for next week.
Thank you. She didn't like the ivory colored switches that were in the house. So I was switching them to the pure white.
Yeah. And the bright white.
Yeah. And I mean, if you wire something like
that, you're gonna go ebony. But just thought.
If you wire that wrong, like you watch a YouTube video and you're like, okay, like my black goes to my gold, my white goes to my silver, and my green goes to my green, like color for color, and you switch one backwards and you flip the thing on and it doesn't work, like you're not
that's
gonna
about
burn.
Worst
you're not gonna
scenario.
Burn your house down. You're gonna be like, wait a minute, those lights, like the light was working before and now it's not working, like something must be messed up. You can also like do the same thing with like your outlet plug, and like you buy a cheap plug checker and it'll tell you exactly, like, oh, your
receptacle.
Pots are receptacle. Yeah, yeah, I was just doing it for the, you know,
for the layman.
For the layman terms. And like you buy a cheap outlet checker and it'll just be like your outlets are reversed, and you wouldn't like burn your house down or anything like that. Yeah, you'd be like, well, damn, not working now.
I'd have to imagine over time a lot of mandatory things that just the equipment is built in. There's just more safe, natural, like, yeah, more redundancy of stuff.
The engineers that get paid a lot of money have figured out how to make things, you know, safe for the common user. But you start diving into like rewiring your house and like next thing you know, you cross a neutral up, now you have like a bunch, you could be having way more amperage going down through one of the wires that isn't rated to have that much. Then the wire over time, you're not going to see it instantly, but over time that wire is going to heat up because like where there's electricity there's heat that's formed, and then it creates a hot spot or you nick it or something like that, and then there's like open wire to wood, and next thing you know, you know, God forbid something happens. And that's why I say just call a professional for it, and just you know,
especially if I have a house built in 1901 that doesn't have a lot
could
of that
be a little bit
stuff.
It could be a little
a lot of those kindling. Engineers weren't around at that time, I don't think.
Hear you loud and clear.
Can't hold them accountable.
That's all great and I think very sound advice. I just have one so I'll ask this for Matt. We'll co-ask. I own a house too. I asked, like, I'm hoping you're early enough in this and also are an honest enough guy where you don't want to associate with those ne'er-do-wells, but like, what are some common, as someone hiring an electrician, what are some common things to maybe like watch out for that, you know, signs you're getting fleeced, basically.
You know, when you were texting me about like potential questions, and that was one of them, I was like, I think I'm gonna let him down on this one. But I've asked, I'm not on that side. I'm not far enough in my career yet.
Yeah, I understand.
To know that kind of stuff.
You're not involved in the billing.
I know that sometimes. It really depends, honestly. Like some people, they'll charge fixed rate per square foot, like, you know, $10 a square foot, and like, how much square footage is your living room that you want at Rerun? All right, you got, you know, let's just say 50, or yeah. I don't know, that's pretty small, but
tiny
living room. It won't even fit the big
Harry Potter's
TV.
Living room, I think.
How much you do this podcast?
And they'd be like, it's like X amount per square foot, and that's the number. Or it could be like, and this is me just asking people that do it,
totally,
how they run it. And it could be cost, like they know what the cost of it's going to be. And then they do cost plus 20%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So more like how a carpenter would probably, some version like of that.
Probably similar. Yeah. I can't really speak to knowing.
Honestly, I searched it so I could hopefully rebut you in case you did try to take one for the team. And it was mostly just sort of things like, yeah, the whole house is going to need to be redone, like, which is any contractor was like, if the job is for a far bigger thing than why you originally asked for it, like, at least get a second opinion.
True.
There was a few other things, but there was nothing glaring of like, yeah, but it just, as on the, you know, customer side, that's the price of not having the knowledge. You are hoping the person's honest, and that's, to a large degree, kind of all you can do, unless you're going to fucking, A, learn about electricity on your own, and then watch over their shoulder as they're doing everything. So, I don't know. I'm not surprised you answered it that way, because I didn't see anything. And I personally have had, like, our electrician here, it's Tim Butt. I don't know if you've come into his circles, but...
No. I might have emailed him.
He's what you want to be. Like, he runs his own show and is excellent at it. He's... So he's killer, but yeah, you should hit him up.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that would mean. I don't know. He's a great guy, though, if nothing else. And I feel like, if nothing else, would be a good probably model for how to run a business.
Yeah. No, I'm always interested in talking to people. Like, I try to pick everybody's brain. Yeah. And like, I want to get into doing some side work and stuff like that, too. So, like, obviously, like, I'm like committed to the company I work for and whatnot. Yeah. But man, if I could have a little side hustle, you know, where even if I just 1099 myself out, like, which I guess I couldn't yet, but eventually.
Yes,
1098 right now.
Yeah. 1090 under the table.
1099.
Man, like I say, just very, very interesting to me, and just, yeah, really cool to peep into that world. Just as Matt said, just just respectable to have the say, like, no, this isn't really working for me. I'm not going to be comfortable, but it's time to do something else.
Yeah.
You know, we always are battling friction. So,
oh my goodness.
But before we let you go, one of our employees is leaving, having a little going away thing. You've been super generous on your Friday, pushed your beer o'clock back by about 5 hours. So, Matt can run you through how we end this, and I'll fill in the blanks.
You fill in the blanks. We're going to give you you'll have two different categories. We call it the three bay. We give you three things. We give you a category for the other.
It's sink. It's the other trade. It's plumbing. It's a plumbing reference.
And we, it's like a free association game where you put each of one into the other bucket and tell us why.
Oh, God.
It's
okay.
Like, you're the psych,
I'm following. You're
the psych major. It's our turn to...
Yeah, it's very, very psych heavy. Yeah. I think there's a class on this in Farmington. So I'm going to give you just three famous figures in electricity. Pretty obvious way to go about it.
Yeah.
And you're going to pair them up with, of all things, three domestic lagers.
Beer o'clock,
yes.
Baby.
You
I'm
going
to grab another one for that.
Yeah, that's mine. Yeah, so I guess you can start with Bud Light. But So we obviously have to do Edison, and then Edison's apprentice to some, or at least employee, Tesla.
Yeah,
probably the two most famous guys. And
enemy-ish, employee.
Oh, big enemy-ish. And all sorts, yeah. They started as that, and then Tesla was like, "Fuck this guy."
That's DC versus AC.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. And who won? And then, would you rather have Benny Frank or Michael Faraday?
Probably Michael Faraday.
Yeah. Cool, great. I know nothing about him, so perfect. Yeah.
Me neither. So.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
With the last name.
Faraday conductor or something. He made something.
I've heard that Edison gets all the credit and Faraday is the one who really pushed the electricity.
Did he steal it from?
Stole. I don't know if it's anything like that.
There was a lot of theft.
Yeah,
at that time.
Faraday got busy on electricity, and everybody.
There was a car that was Faraday, right?
I'm
or
not
is
sure,
there
to
now?
Be
yeah. I don't know.
But anyway, don't confuse that. Those three people, three domestic De Beers of any. I don't care how you do it. What you'd want to drink with them? What you think they'd be drinking? What the bottle reminds you of? Any way you want.
To tie it.
Oh, okay.
And any beer you want that's domestic and lager.
I got a question. I was talking with my fiance, and
you got about another week of saying that till you'd be like, I can't say that word anymore.
Get it out, please. No. I get weird.
You
like,
have
even
to say it weird.
I get weird saying it.
No, I was saying it a lot, but I had to do some weird twist on it to feel
normal.
Not weird about it. But 100%. It usually made me feel weirder. But.
Is Bissell Brothers considered domestic?
That's the thing. I'll say any lager you want. It's a stupid term, I think, because back when, like, a craft brewery of any sort didn't exist, it was either it's an imported lager or it's a domestic lager.
Yeah.
So, like, the term is outdated, but it's still, I remember at the Pig, people would be like, what do you have for domestics? And it's like, everything, technically, but I know that's not what you're asking me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave you to interpret that however you want.
Yeah.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, I was
doesn't
curious.
Get asked enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Damn, this is a tough question. Like, what? All right. Edison. Damn, I guess I drink more like imported stuff than I think. I was like, oh, nice cold Corona, you know.
Well, when I say domestic, that's kind of what I'm thinking of,
more
like
macro.
Yeah, what Heineken, Corona, Amstel,
okay.
Bud Light.
All right,
that's I think what people mean when they say domestic.
Yeah.
In
oh,
my
see,
head.
When I think domestic, it's you know,
it's English.
Made in
it's
United good old States
it's
America.
Literally what it should mean.
You want
yes,
Budweiser,
absolutely
Coors
what it should mean.
All right.
So you can go global though.
Okay,
we're all
global.
One. We're all one. It's all domestic.
Yeah,
one race.
Yeah, yeah. One race.
All right, I would drink with Edison. I feel like he'd
picture how annoyed he'd be that he had to have a beer with you.
Yeah, I'd probably
or anyone. I'm sure. I mean, it's not you.
I feel like I'd give him a Red Stripe because those are, you know, you got the fancy bottle too, you know, the nice little stubby.
Yeah,
nice little stubby.
He'd probably be able to drink like a little bit of it.
Yeah.
A couple sips.
Yeah, I can see him like doing that for sure. Maybe you'd put some happy into him.
Tesla. You know,
where's he from? Hungary?
He was from what would you call Eastern Europe?
Well, Hungary's a country,
right?
There.
That's Eastern Europe, right?
Yeah.
I just looked it up for trivia and I can't remember, but I know you're close. It might be absolutely correct.
Georgia. No. Whatever, yeah.
I respect the hell out of Tesla, so I'd probably put the ball in his court, and I enjoy them as well. Probably do a Stella on ice. Not like putting it on
ice.
Ice
cold.
But I'm
saying I didn't know
if
that was a
cold.
Stella.
No, never heard of that. No,
interesting.
No. That was a little.
It might have been in like 1850 though. It was later than that, I think. Right. Whenever David Bowie was alive.
He's from Croatia, which was part of Hungary then. It was like an...
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was part... No.
And then what was the last one? What was the last guy?
So you... Sorry, you said...
Faraday is the last one.
But no, with Tesla, Tesla was doing what?
Oh, Stella. Ice cold.
Stella. Oh, right. I was going to say, I could see him in whatever... You know, contemporary time, he was rocking out. I can see a beer like Stella being poured with ice. That something Stella about that
been
glass.
Around since like it's been around for it's quite been some time.
Definitely predates Tesla.
Yeah. I bet he probably Nicola enjoyed probably the laid same. Lip,
dude.
Yeah. Enjoyed the same recipe.
Yeah, that's a great thought right there. The same recipe. But so then, yes. What's the guy's name? Michael.
Michael Faraday.
Yeah.
Michael Faraday. Once I have no idea who Michael is, I'd lay a lip to a Bissell Brothers Lux.
There it is.
Wow.
Give it to Faraday.
Wow.
The man he looks, really should get the
cause
credit.
Because then I'd be able to get to know him a little bit, too.
I know Noah said domestic, but I was really hoping you were going to give somebody a
shot. Hey, and honestly, though, Lux, yeah. Lux is the word itself is like a measure of light intensity. It's like a unit of light intensity. Like... I believe.
What about luminescence?
Lumen was taken.
And lumen,
it was going to be lumen. No Another shit. Brewery had used lumen.
Really?
So it became Lux. Yeah.
Should have bought the rights.
Yeah. Third beer we ever made. Like.
It's got to be lumen.
It's the best beer you ever made.
It's a great beer.
I love Lux.
Well, Garth Clark, best of luck to you. This was fucking awesome, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for taking the time, brother. Yeah. I've enjoyed having Beer O'Clock with you.
Domestics, baby. Yeah, absolutely. Happy Friday.
My ice cold Bud Light.
I'm in the mood to be slow and careful. My body's ready for a mountain climb. All of a sudden, it will all become lovely. The flower that opens.